When you need to refuel between meetings or running errands, or you just want a healthy snack that squashes your hunger, Wonderful Pistachios, which come in a variety of flavors and sizes, by the way, are the perfect choice to fill you up and keep you going throughout the day. Wonderful Pistachios is also a good source of protein and a zero-guilt snack. Each 1 ounce serving has 6 grams of protein, guys, which gives you over 10% of your daily value. And with flavors like salt and pepper, sweet chili, and seasoned salt in the shelled variety, options like chili roasted, sea salt, and vinegar or jalapeno lime in the no-shell variety, you're sure to please your taste buds while snacking healthy. So check out wonderfulpistachios.com to learn more about how these little green wonders can power up your day.
Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about all from the comfort of your home isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
All right, we've got a new sponsor. Super excited to tell you about these guys, Blinds.com. Why am I super excited? Because they gave me some blinds for my new farmhouse, which makes me really excited, as I said. So whether it's springtime and you want to let the sun in, or you want to block out the glare in your media room, whatever you want, you can control it. Blackout blinds, they got it all. So check out how this works. You go to the website. It's really easy to navigate. If you need extra help, you can call them, email them, or even live chat with a real person. If you don't know what colors you want, they will send you free samples so you can see them. You can feel them in person. Blinds.com takes care of their customers in so many ways. They've got a sure fit guarantee, so if you mismeasure your window, Blinds.com will remake your product for free. And if you're like me, it's entirely possible this may happen. So there is no risk to you. These guys really care. They want you to be happy. They want you to be satisfied. And their product is fantastic. It is bulletproof. Did I mention free shipping? Yes, people, free shipping. So hurry over to Blinds.com. You're going to find great discounts all April long, from your favorite brands to popular upgrades that are all on sale. You're going to love the value and the incredible customer service. Go check it out right now at Blinds.com.
You're now listening to The Jillian Michaels Show.
So I don't know how to do the show without getting this off of my chest. And I just feel like we have to talk about it because I have to get it off of my chest so we can do the rest of our show without this being in the back of my mind. Fair. So, okay. I buy this house, right? This farmhouse. And the whole idea is we're going to move the horses to the farmhouse. That's why we really bought it. Blah, blah, blah. It had a small horseback riding arena. And we... So we were like, oh, it has an arena. Let's make the arena bigger. To make a long story short, apparently you're not allowed to do that without a huge nightmare and a permit, blah, blah, blah. Cut to. We go back to the drawing board. I have spent a ton of money and a year of time, and I'm just about to get this permit. And I hire a contractor. He says, send me the plans. I've got a million different guys working on this. Soils engineers, permit expediters, contractor, all this stuff. And these animals permitted the exact same size riding arena. After a year and a ton of money. And I was hysterical. I'm like, okay. I don't even know what to do. Does this mean we wait 2 years? Does this back to the draw? And I still don't have answers. And I was freaking out. And I was like, okay. And I haven't had something really bad luck happen in a while. And I was like, oh God. Oh my God. And you know how things like, there's tides where just everything goes wrong.
Yes.
And then you're in those tides where you're like, uh-oh. Oh God, everything's going okay. And the shoe's going to drop kind of thing. Oh God, oh God, oh God. So then... I wake up this morning and I could barely sleep last night. I was like, this has to be a bad dream. I can't have gone through all of this. And these guys, and they're like, we told you. I'm like, you never told me. I mean, I was screaming. Like, the way you think Jillian Michaels would be a lunatic, I would say 99 times out of 100, you'd be totally wrong. I was screaming on the phone.
Don't blame you.
I was screaming at, how did you do it? I mean, I was hysterical. So I wake up and I find out that this deal that we've been working on for a while ended up falling apart. Just poop, gone. And I was like, oh my God, it's starting. I was like, no. And I was like, please no. Because there's like another deal that's important that I've been working on for almost a year that I should find out about this week if it goes or it doesn't go. And I was like, oh no. The tide can't turn. I call Giancarlo. He's had a friend who, he's like one of my oldest friends, just got put into jail for like suspected murder last night. Then this morning I'm talking to Giancarlo and he's like, my grandmother's dying like imminently. Michelle gets in a car accident that, like, we were supposed to record the podcast last week and Autumn's like, oh, we're canceling the podcast. Michelle's been in a car accident, and not the kind of car accident where you go, oh, I got an fender bender. Like, was this a head-on collision? What is, like, she can't move her right arm.
Yeah, I wasn't even really... I was pretty much stopped, and the car came at me, like, going 50 or more.
That fast?
Yeah. And all I remember is just an explosion. Like, it felt like a bomb explosion.
Oh, my God.
And then I was knocked out unconsciously and unconscious, and there were some witnesses that helped get me out of the car. I mean, yeah, it was pretty bad and a big setback, and you're right. Like, I was loving life and having a great week, covering a great story, and 5 minutes from work, and boom!
Oh, God, dude.
Just like that.
I would... Jesus.
And you know, the whole week has just been just awful. I mean, in the ER, and I just miserable. So,
and now you don't know what's going to happen with your right arm.
Yeah, I can't. I lost movement in my right arm. I have such a severe burn that there's some nerve damage going on. But, I mean...
Well... So, hold
on. What's the takeaway
here? So, hold on. I'm not there yet.
Okay.
Because I'm trying to figure it out. We're going to all figure it out together because I don't know.
Okay.
So, then I'm talking to Andy and I was like, oh, Michelle's going to need a lawyer to deal with this, blah, blah, blah. And Tate, Andy's fiance, was in a terrible accident, which you guys may have heard peppered into various podcasts, where he's riding his motorcycle down PCH, thank God, in full gear because he's that smart. And this guy just whips out right in front of him and Tate T-bones him. Guy pulls out right in front of him, tries to go across four lanes, doesn't look, and just pulls out right in front of him. Tate hits him, sails over the car, right?
Yep. He flew like 50 feet.
And has multiple surgeries.
Yep.
Out of work.
Yeah.
Still needs to get his knee scoped.
He does.
All this stuff. And then I was like, what happened with that lawyer? And?
He doesn't have the insurance. And he was also in a rental car. So they are trying to deal with...
The kid, not Tate.
The kid. Mm-hmm. So the kid who was in the car is in a rental car. So now they're having to deal with the logistics of if it's the guy's personal insurance, which is like minimum, he's got like whatever, nobody insurance. And then, or the insurance of the rental car. And so they fight about who's liable and... It's a nightmare.
And there's no recourse. There's no way you walk away going, oh, well, you know, I got my money back or I got some pain and suffering. Or no. And so it's just not fair. It's just not fair. And I kind of was like, okay, we have to figure this out. So, you know, I keep trying to kind of talk myself into this place of like, I'm like, all right, you know, you weren't in a car. You're not dying. No one you love is dying. But I am just going, oh, my God, did I buy this house and there's no solution to this problem? Because if you don't have a certain kind of arena, you can't ride the horses in it. They're jumpers. They need a certain kind of arena with a certain kind of footing and a certain kind of, like, I can't move them. They cannot move them to that house. I will have bought an entire home for nothing. And I'm just like, all right, come on now. You know, all right, these are not real problems. Like, there are people that are homeless. There are people that are hungry. There are people that don't have their health. Come on, Jill. Come on, girl. Stop being like, you know,
well, you
a
can
pansy.
Still be frustrated.
Like,
upset,
how do you kind of, you know? And I'm like, is because this happens. This happens. This is life. And we all know this. Life is not fair. Life is messy. Bad things happen. Things that are out of your control. What we know is we can control the way we react to these things.
Absolutely.
So,
that
is
the message.
So tell me, how are we reacting, girls?
Well, it's hard because
someone tell me.
Well,
are we finding perspective? What are we doing? Someone tell me.
First,
Go ahead. Let's all take a shot at it.
Deep breath.
Okay.
And I think these situations make you pause. Okay. And reevaluate things. And at least in my situation, I'm so upset that this happened. I'm so bummed and angry and upset to be slowed down. I don't like to be slowed down. But I looked at that situation. I went, wow. You know, at first I thought I was the most unlucky person to be right. the one person that this guy was gonna kill and or hit. And then I thought, wow, there were these two gentlemen that stopped. And they were both in the film industry. And they were busy. And one guy's like a big filmmaker, found out. But he stopped. And he was knocking at my door and making sure I got out of that car. And he spent like an hour with me after to make sure I was taken care of. And so, you know, there are these angels in the world, right?
Yeah.
And
okay, sometimes so you found some good guys.
Sometimes these situations bring out, you know, the best and the worst. And they make you focus on what's important. And
I like it. I like that. And you could have been killed. So then we look at it and we go, are you the most unlucky or are you the most lucky?
Exactly.
Yeah, I'll shadow that, because the night that Tate was in the accident, I drove by with Jack in the car and someone else called me on his cell. And it was weird to have a woman call you on someone's cell, because immediately you go, who are you?
Yeah.
And she's like, well, I'm the doctor's wife, and and he stopped and he flew and it looks like he's probably pretty broken. And when I drove by the motorcycle, it was torn up and it made me so scared. So then you kind of get relieved that the person's alive, like you do that, you do the checklist. And then when we were there, the doctors and everything that had to do all this massive stuff to him, they said in the end, consider yourself lucky. And it's hard to kind of go, what do you mean? But it's like, because they see someone who's been an amputee from something like that, or someone who's died, where they have to tell the wife who arrives at the hospital, God, your spouse has been killed.
You're right. It's pause, reevaluate, look at, you know, stop and look at how grateful you actually are, or how lucky, you know, all the good things, how lucky you actually are. And I am, and I know that. And I'm like, this is, you know, this is your problem. What if I got a call tomorrow that my mammogram came back and I had cancer? Like, this would mean nothing. And I try That's to kind true. Of think about that. And I think maybe when you're going through something like this, it's like what the girls said, you know, think about, all right, tomorrow if I called you and said your husband or your spouse or yourself, you know, they found cancer, wouldn't this be your dream problem? Wouldn't you long for the day that this was your problem, Jill? And it would be. And I think that helps me. And I'm just, and here's another thing, though, because this is a real problem of mine. Who's superstitious?
I am.
Okay, because now I'm like, oh my God, the tide's turning and I can't turn it back. And I start to see these things start to just fold like dominoes. Giancarlo's grandmother's dying, and it's like his friend, and then your accident, and then the thing. And I'm like, oh my God, oh my God. And I start to get superstitious, which is totally irrational. It's insane.
I'm going to defend you here for a second, though. I feel like you have triggers because you've been a target because of who you are. Mm-hmm. And I've known you for so many years, and I've seen people try and exploit. And that's a problem. People kind of froth at the mouth around you. And if they think that they can get an extra dime out of a situation, I've seen people really try and abuse that scenario. Yeah. So that's a trigger. And then so when it gets accumulative, and then you have big, big goals, which sometimes can have equally big disappointments.
Right.
We try and look for explanations, and sometimes they go a little bit more on the whimsical because we don't have logical understandings.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, that's not fair to kind of say, well, I'm allowed to offset all this stuff that I want that I've worked hard for because I know someone has less. Baloney. Too bad. It's relative.
Right, right.
It's relative.
Right.
And I would feel as angry as you want to feel and then continue to fight. You can be grateful, but it doesn't mean you offset it.
Don't think that you lost. I mean, I always fight till you know you have nothing left. Like, you don't know yet that you can't get this money back. You don't know.
I can't get the money back. What I can do is go back to the drawing board.
Yeah.
But it's going to take forever. And it's just, yeah. And I don't know how long, and I don't know how much more. And I think I can go back, but I don't know. At the end of the day, they're like, well, we could never have built it that big. That's what we told you. I'm like, no, you never told me that. And they're like, oh, well, you can only move this much dirt, and you can only this, and you can only that. So now they're telling me, like, oh, we can get it bigger, but not that much bigger. Mm-hmm. And, you know, which again has been an exercise in futility then. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think you guys are right.
And perspective.
I feel your feelings. Have your moment, you know, lick your wounds. Absolutely.
Lick them.
Yeah. Nurture yourself.
Yeah.
Because I also don't think it's good to beat yourself up about feeling bad. Feel bad.
No, you feel have bad. Every right to be angry. Those are normal emotions right. coming out. You didn't make those up. Those are coming out of you for a reason.
Gosh. And you can be relatively pissed for the situation you're going through.
Yeah. Yeah.
I've never said, well, it could be worse. I go, I know that deep in the back of my head, mm-hmm. but I always feel mad at the situation I'm in.
Right.
I hate not getting what I want, especially when I work hard for it. I'm not rolling the dice hoping good things happen to me. I work hard and I want it to be, you know, rewarded. Directly related.
But I think we need to go back and we need to, and it's very unfortunate that when we have life or death situations, this is actually when we get this perspective. But if we can every day remember, we're breathing, yep. we're alive, our hands are moving,
right.
our legs are working, we have water. I mean, these are things that, you know.
Oh, God, I know.
We are
That's
so
when I look at myself
lucky.
And go, you're disgusting.
You're not. Those
you've
are...
been to the third world. You've been at, you know, Africa, India, Haiti. Like, you've seen people with nothing, and this is your problem. And remember we realized that when we were in India, Andy? I was like, oh, my God, Jillian, you know, you're sitting here. Like, people would, you'd see Westerners come in and, like, complain because they wanted ice in their water or something.
Yep. Yeah.
And you're like, oh my God, most of this country doesn't even have clean water.
Yeah.
And you're mad because it's not cold enough. And I, you know, I forget that. And that's why
I forget.
To take these trips to places like that that show me, you know, what's important and then make me give back in the right areas and go, no, you know, life isn't fair. But if you have more, it's your job to make the world more fair. Mm-hmm. And so I think it's. Ultimately, you feel your feelings, you nurture yourself, you don't beat yourself up about your feelings, but you're right. I think it's time to go back to that perspective and be like, well, he's alive, you know?
Yeah, and stay grateful.
Alive.
And when you're grateful, they say that you attract good things to you. So in order to stop that bad luck pattern, stay grateful and you'll continue to attract good in your life. So try it. Let's try it this week.
I'm going to.
Okay.
All right, guys, let's try it. Maybe every night before bed. Think of five things you're really grateful for.
Okay, I will.
All right, well, the next time we come back, I'm going to test this. And if this project I worked on falls apart, I'm going to be pissed.
But you got to do it every night. I'm going to remind you. I'll send you a bedtime email.
The National Academy of Sports Medicine is looking for people who want an exciting career in the fitness industry where you wake up every day doing something that you love. NASM trainers are improving people's lives by helping them reach their health and fitness goals, and the demand for these trainers is huge. Just imagine waking up every day excited to go to work. And it's not a job, it's a career. You get paid to stay in shape while you help other people reach their fitness goals. You set your own hours, you can work in a health club, a sports clinic, corporate wellness, you name it, you choose it. So do what you truly enjoy and get paid for it. There's no better time than right now to get started on your certification with the National Academy of Sports Medicine. Plus, NASM guarantees that you will land a job as a personal trainer within 60 days of earning your CPT certification, or you get your money back guaranteed. So just go to myusatrainer.com for a free 14-day trial of their fast and fun online program. That is myusatrainer.com, myusatrainer.com. Restrictions apply. Last time, myusatrainer.com for details. All right, we're back. And I have a very interesting segment that this is going to be for our male listeners.
I did not come up with this, ladies and gentlemen.
I think I found it on Men's Health, to be honest. And I thought, oh, I'll get Giancarlo and Jake in on the conversation. Gentlemen, this is called 8 Ways to Protect Your Erection. Huh? And I would like your feedback. What do you think, Jake?
I'm listening.
Okay, so here we go. It says, a lot of guys know that their lifestyle is harming their health, but it isn't until it begins to affect their sex life that they, quote, start to listen, says Charles Walker, MD and professor of urology. Low testosterone, a shoddy sex drive, and trouble getting the plane off the ground. Oh, is that an analogy you guys use?
Never.
Nope.
Oh, well, take it up. Getting the plane off the ground are all caused by high-risk
It's more
behaviors.
Like a rocket.
Oh, oh. Michelle's vomiting. okay, high-risk behaviors at some point become irreversible and can actually, I should be more serious now, and can actually turn into full-blown erectile dysfunction. So, he says, Dr. Walker says, here are 8 habits that you want to clean up if you want to keep your heart on healthy. Okay, so you guys tell me if you have any problems with this, if this makes sense. Clean your medicine cabinet. He says antidepressants and blood pressure medications and even popular hair growth drugs like Propecia all list erectile problems as potential side effects. But the most surprising culprit might be your allergy or cold medicine. What do you guys think?
I mean, look, this, first off, you know what, Jill? When you call me to talk about these things, I always feel like I'm gagged because you know how I talk. So I need to kind of...
I'll bleep it.
All right. So first off, what the fuck is this guy talking about? I've never had a problem because I've taken a cold medicine. Like, the wind can blow and I can get a boner. So it's like, I don't get it.
Wait, though, I will say this. I did remember hearing that if a woman does take something like a Benadryl, that she can't actually have... I can say orgasm. I don't have to bleep that, right? Okay.
No.
Now I'm going to have to go back and put a warning. Put a warning in on the label of this, please.
But she can still have sex. She doesn't.
She
have
can,
to have
but I actually remember this, and I know this because let's just say many years ago there happened to be an issue one evening, and I discovered it may have been because I took a Benadryl.
Really?
Yeah.
Here's the thing.
Try it tonight.
Not the experience you want. Yeah, right?
Yeah.
I just think, though, the antidepressants, blood pressure, and Propecia. So if you avoid these medications, though, you're going to be depressed, have high blood pressure, and no hair. So is that cause to want to have to be in a situation to get an erection anyway?
Like, well, it's one or the other. Too, though, I'll tell you this. There was also, it turned into a man thing. Maybe the lesson here is that men and women have more in common than they think, because I also remember, I don't know about guys not being able to get erections from antidepressants, but I remember there was one very small window when I was 27 and I had gotten fired from ICM and I had no idea what I was going to do with my life, where I was on, I think it was Zoloft, and I had no interest.
It's a buzzkill.
None. I don't think I couldn't have an orgasm.
Were you depressed? If you're depressed, if you're not feeling well, obviously.
Well, let me tell you, when I came off of it, it was like, all right, look out, on fire. Yeah. So I think there. I would just say, if any of this is going on, talk to your doctor, guys. Talk to your urologist and have him look at your medications. Jake, any issues?
I play with myself when I'm in bed and with a cold or something.
Wait, so, are you on cold medicine?
No, like if I have a cold, and I'm in bed, I play with myself more than I would usually, so no problem there.
Okay, this might ruin my career in this segment.
No,
well, I'm just kidding.
So, Jill, first off, the fact that I'm being honored by the presence of Samantha of your circle, Andrea Orbeck, first I'd like to say hello.
Hello.
Because I know you are a true connoisseur of these things and have been in many situations. I got to tell you, I'm looking at the article that you're talking about. The only thing I would say that causes a problem for me personally, and since you're on the phone, it's funny, is the anxiety from work.
I was just about to ask you that one, because, yeah, that's the next one. It says, leave your work at the office. And it says
right.
It's a huge issue for sexual function, which, by the way, it is for me, too. I have all these problems. I should get
right.
Heidi on
so,
the phone.
You know, I'm looking at this, and I don't have, with the exception of the anxiety from work, you know, for me, it's like the penis is an instrument, it's a muscle, and you got to condition it. So a steady diet of porn is a good thing, because the whole thing about an erection, it is mental. It is not a physical thing. You know what I mean? Like, you see
Agreed.
A booty, it kicks off. You remember a position with a girl, it kicks off. You remember a moment, it kicks off. So it's like, I'm looking at this guy's article saying, this guy wrote this because he has these problems, and he's trying to point it out. It's like, oh, this is a society norm. I've had the best sex drunk, hammered. Okay, so that doesn't cause erectile dysfunction for
it
me.
It doesn't.
I don't
oh, see, because I've heard that guys will be like, they had one too many.
Only
too drunk.
If it gets into your head, like you said, mental.
Wait a second. You're telling me you can have 10 beers and still get it up?
Yeah, but I've had times where it's taking a little longer, and then the girl goes, oh, is everything okay? And then I just can't do it. I'm like, oh, no. Is
Jake,
everything okay?
That's because it was last call
said,
at the bar.
She said, is everything okay?
Right.
And that is embarrassing.
If no, Jake, just tell him the truth. It was last call at the bar and you picked up what was
left.
Yeah. What? Wait,
you guys are terrible people. All right. Well, what about this one then? Okay. Hit the sack at a reasonable hour. Lack of sleep? Any effect? Says solid shut eye is most important in younger guys for whom low T, low testosterone, plays a larger part in their ability to get it up. He says you got to get a minimum of 6, but 8 hours is ideal. So not only does this have to do with apparently your waistline and your heart health, but also your erection. Huh? Yes? No? Possibly?
Well, I'll say this, Joe. Actually, the sleep is really important, but what actually really helps your erection is working out. That gives
really? You... Oh, good circulation.
You got it.
And testosterone, it raises.
That's right, it does.
It keeps you physically active.
Yeah.
I think your penis is honestly a barometer to your lifestyle, like you said earlier, G. If you're feeling poor, it's a barometer to your life because your sex life is a reflection of how good you feel, where you are at in your head, where you're at with your partner.
That's true.
I mean, that's why I don't even diss pornography because I feel like it is actually a tool for you to offset other things that are going on in your life. Like, it is a legit aspect. If it's out of control, well, then it's going to be out of control. But I think it's a tool. I just
really,
honestly,
I do.
Andy, I think
would
you should.
But can you get it? I've heard people get addicted to porn, and then it's like their regular sex life is boring, and they can't.
All right,
connect.
So you know what? I'm glad you brought that up. Do you drink coffee in the morning?
Very much so. Yes, every day.
Okay, and people have vices. They like coffee. They like tea. They smoke cigarettes. They watch, you know, sports. Porn is nothing but entertainment, right? And it's voyeuristic because, unfortunately, a lot of people are not willing to go to that place with their partner or spouse or what have you and take those chances and be that vulnerable. In porn, you could do that for yourself and be as nasty as you want to be. But if you're, you know, if you're a guy like me, I'm like, hey, I saw a girl do this, my poor wife. I saw a girl do this, and let's try not to break your neck, but let's try it.
I just don't feel like you need to translate your fantasy life into your bedroom either. Like, I'll watch a violent movie, and I'm not going to pursue AK-47s online after to see if I can do that. If it's contained and it's something that stimulates you, and then you relay that back into the life you have and the levels and the, you know, the limitations you have in your own bedroom, it's a tool that goes that you can take back. I don't feel like you need to necessarily even do it. And your fantasy life is your fantasy life.
I will say it does add some variety to the bedroom.
For sure.
Yeah, and, you know, even Heidi's like, where did you learn that one? And I'm like, Red Tube.
I actually, Jill, I get a lot of my inspiration from going to yoga because.
Oh, my gosh.
Sure. You
know, yeah. It's true.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's just stuff that you see. And, like, you know, like when they tell you, like, Yogi's Choice, and you see people do things, I'm like, wow, this girl's gangster.
All right, now wait.
I'm so uncomfortable going to yoga now.
This is why you don't wear see-through pants.
Hello. Yeah.
Okay, so what about this one, guys? This guy says, fire your mistress, because he said crushing guilt can cause anxiety. Anxiety produces chemical changes in the brain that attack your ability to have an erection. High levels of anxiety turn your sympathetic, blah, blah, blah. So, you get it. Guilty. Like, ever cheated on a girl and then not been able to get it up?
Never.
No, I've never cheated on a girl, though.
Liar.
Hey,
I swear.
Shut up.
I swear. I haven't been in many relationships, but when I have been, I've been pretty faithful. Oh, completely
Someone
faithful.
Throw something at him.
No,
come
that's
on.
Great.
But I feel
he's young, though. He's 10 years old.
But I feel, yeah, and I will say that your age.
Go, Jake.
I mean, yeah, no, he's a baby. However, I just feel like if you have a mistress, it might have to do with the fact that you don't have great coping at home with someone sexually, and you go out and get it because it's more of a sexy fantasy. Most people don't cheat on their spouses because they're like, she is such a conversationalist. I'm leaving my wife for her. She can talk, man. When we get together, boy, do we talk. No, that's not the narrative. So I would love for you to fire your source. I'm not advocating you cheat as a way to deal with your sex life, but why do people cheat? They cheat because they have sex, you know? So
yeah,
that's a tough one.
Yeah, good point. All right. How about this one? Well, this one you might not know. Maybe it's just a good piece of advice. He says, and I have heard this, don't put your laptop in your lap. Mm. And when Heidi was pregnant, the doctor said not to do it because the radiation.
Right.
And this guy says, basically, it overheats your, quote, balls. Your, quote, balls function a few degrees below body temperature, perching your PC over your junk can possibly affect T production, messing with your ability to get an erection. So don't do that, I guess.
You said this guy was a doctor?
Yeah.
This is why his information sucks, because he's saying balls.
Well, he should have said sack.
No, he didn't say. Ball maybe sack. It's not him that said it. Maybe it's the writer that said it. It's either laptops, blah, 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 heat. Here's what the doctor said. Laptops generate a tremendous amount of heat, and anything that warms heated, say testicles, too much can decrease your sperm count and testosterone levels, says Dr. Fish. Then the writer, I Dr. guess, Fish? I think it's Men's Health. Yeah, yeah, then he says
well,
balls.
Jill,
the writer
I
says
I will
balls.
Tell you this. Yeah. Since I've been going through fertility stuff with my wife, that was one of the first things when I went to get tested to see my sperm count and how good my love juice was. I was told that make sure that there's certain things like keep your phone away from your groin, keep your laptop wow. off you. And so unfortunately, you know, I don't have any issues with my sperm count, but that was one of like two of the flags that they immediately said was your laptop and your phone, keep it away.
Interesting. All right. So we're going to give credence to that one.
Big time.
Okay. All right. So that one's got some credibility. Of course, smoking. I think neither one of you smoke, but it is common knowledge that smoking, it, not only can it prevent, your ability to get an erection, but it's really, really bad for your sperm count. So I think we all know that. We don't need to hammer that one. And one last tip, this guy said. So, again, we can't really test this one, but maybe this one will just help you guys out. Brushing your teeth. And I remember I actually did this campaign about brushing your teeth, and I learned that, like, plaque on your teeth can relate back to heart health and plaque yeah. in your arteries. So maybe there's something to this. It says a 2012 Turkish study found that men with ED are 3 times more likely to have gum disease than guys without, quote, penis problems. And the right. odds go up the worse your impotence. And the British Dental Health Foundation reports 4 out of 5 men with severe ED also have gum disease. What does your mouth have to do with it? It says, as your teeth decay, your immune system attacks pathogens in your mouth. Those bacteria seep into your bloodstream, damaging blood vessels and blood flow, which is the key mm-hmm. here. So he says, make sure you regularly floss and brush twice a day.
Yep.
Huh?
And plus,
that's
no
why you always see me brushing my teeth you after do. I eat, Jill.
No one wants to kiss someone with nasty teeth anyways.
You're not wrong, Jake.
No.
You're not wrong. And then I would just simply say, anything that's going to improve your circulation, cinnamon, capsaicin, all these things that give you a little flush. And I'm sure, I wonder about this. I should need to get Dr. V back. I wonder if niacin, because they give patients niacin for heart health. Because it.
I can tell you, I know some that had to go on Viagra because they were put on niacin and it caused ED issues.
Oh, niacin caused ED issues.
Yep, for that particular person.
Oh, wow. Well, don't do that.
Yeah.
All right.
And there's another point, too. The type of underwear you wear is very important. If you wear tighty whities, it can constrict your blood flow. And so a lot of times, you know, there's
good
a lot
point.
Of options out there with boxers and, like, boxer briefs and all that, but you know, sometimes it's better not to wear underwear at all, depending on, you know, if you can handle that, but that's a big thing too.
Commando. What about sensitivity issues? Can't that cause a sensitivity issue?
Only if you're at a strip club.
Interesting.
Doing jumping jacks in your jeans.
All right, good to know. Well, yep. Thank you, gentlemen. And for all our male listeners, I hope this has helped. For all our female listeners, now you've got a little inside knowledge here. And, hey, guys, can you maybe weigh in on what our female listeners can do to help their guy out if he's stressed or having a hard time? What to do,
yeah,
what
you know
not
something?
To do.
That's actually a really good point you bring up. Pick up on context clues. Like, if you see your guy stressed out, don't tell him, I want to have sex. Oh. I want to do this. Like, figure it out. Like, either romance them in a way or just leave them the F alone. You know what I mean? Because there's times, like, you know, I don't come up to you when you're on the rag and say, hey, I want this now. You kind of feel uncomfortable, right?
Right, yeah.
So pick up on the context clues. And sometimes, you know what? You want something, it's not going to happen. Because remember, we have to get an erection. You might not get moist, but you could lose a loop. You can use a lubricant.
Word.
You know what I'm saying?
I hate that word.
That it's yeah, it's true.
You know, it's like, so we're the ones that have to, quote, take the plane off the ground or whatever the article said, right?
Yep.
So that's really important because that pisses me off.
Really? You sound very upset about that. Did that happen this morning, Jake?
Well, also, you know, and well, it's a little sensitivity, a little romance.
Sure. I've also been given advice, too, that if you are a female in this context, an air traffic controller will say on the runway, you don't mention if things aren't really going well. It makes it 10 times worse. So for a man to hear, what's wrong? Really puts all the weight on him. And that's you don't do that. You just let it go. Like if it just decelerates and it ends up being just you lay in bed and cuddle and you watch TV, you just kind of let it go. Like don't place it on that person because that can really cause weird psychological animosity. That was advice I got one time too. So
from where?
An ex.
He gave it to you. He's like,
take it easy. Take it easy. Any other pointers, guys?
No, I just want to thank you for, you know, giving the male universe, you know, putting out this information for the male universe to hopefully help their ladies know what's up.
We're here to help. Yeah. All right.
Thank you.
All right, babe. We'll talk to you later. Bye.
Bye, guys.
Bye. Weekend warriors, the triathletes, injuries are a fact of life. How do I know? I just rode my bike off PCH. It happens. And I have Arcticese on me right now. So if you don't want to slow down for ice therapy, get Arcticese Instant Cold Wraps. You've never experienced anything like Arcticese before. It's the cold therapy that you can use while still being active. So you can continue to run, bike, lift, but you keep your joints and your muscles wrapped and cool. They stay in place while giving you similar recovery benefits to ice therapy. There's no freezer needed. It's a sleek design. It fits comfortably. There's no bulky ice bags or frozen peas that you've strapped onto your knees or your elbows. They're reusable. They're clinically tested and proven effective. So you just put Arcticese on and you have targeted instant cold and compression therapy where you need it before, during, and after exercise. For pain, swelling, injuries, you can safely use Arcticese for instant, long-lasting cold compression therapy even while you're training. You got to try it to believe it. It's awesome. Don't put your training on ice. Get reusable Arcticese cold wraps at CVS Pharmacy and get instant cooling relief when and where you need it by visiting arcticese.com. And for my final trick, I am going to bring on my mother-in-law, Grandma Joyce.
Yay!
Yay!
Grandma Joyce!
Back by popular demand. So, Grandma, what are you doing?
I'm walking. I need to get my 10,000 steps in today.
Good girl. This is very important. I need your help.
It is important. Okay, what?
All right, ready? So here's what I'm going to hit you with. I need your parenting advice. Are you ready?
Uh-oh.
I'm going to hit you with three things I've been dealing with, and I'd like your thoughts on how to deal with it. Ready?
I'm ready.
Your grandson peed all over his sister. I'm going to tell you what happened. So we get home. It's a Sunday afternoon, and I have the groceries, right? I'm going in, and it's like later in the afternoon, and it's one of those things where Heidi's got to go check on her chickens and just make sure everything's okay out in the garden, blah, blah, blah. I am unpacking the groceries. The kids are outside with her. I'm getting the dog food ready. I'm getting their dinners ready. I'm feeding the pig. Lou comes in distraught, absolutely distraught, holding her shirt out. And I go, sweetie, what's the matter? And she goes, he peed on me. I go, what? What did your mother say? And she's like, she said, no ice cream. Phoenix walks in. In comes the culprit right behind her. I go, dude, what are you doing? You peed on your sister? He goes, accident. I go, no, Phoenix. And she's drenched in pee.
Wow.
She's drenched in it. She
That's
is so pissed because it's like one of her favorite little frozen outfits that Grandma Joyce got her. And I go, dude, no, it's not an accident. He goes, accident. And walks away. And Lou looks at me and she goes, I can't live like this, Mom.
Whoa.
I can't live like this.
She said that?
Yeah. Heidi comes in right behind her. I go, what the hell? What's happening? It's like anarchy. Why is he peeing on her? She goes, I don't know. I was getting eggs from the chicken coop, and apparently he peed on her. I didn't see what happened. Okay, Grandma. Go.
Well, see, I never had any boys, so it's hard for me to know what goes through their little minds. But I have known other boys to pee on each other.
Why?
I don't know. It's just, their little brains work different.
Is he marking his territory?
What am I supposed to do with this?
He's marking his territory. I just think he's doing it because he can. She can't do that to him.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, what am I supposed to do?
Well, he has to have time out, definitely.
Mm-hmm.
But aside from that, I really don't know what you do.
Heidi took the ice cream away. And by the way, he doesn't care. He's such a boy. He likes, like, cheese, meat. He's that. He's not, he doesn't.
Yeah, well, he takes after his grandpa in that way.
He's like, meat. You're like, oh, I'm going to take away your, you know.
Of course, he wouldn't want his ice cream taken away. Papa likes his ice cream.
All right. So, time out?
Time out's the only thing I can think of. And even time out for him is tough because he can entertain himself anywhere.
He sings to himself.
Well, maybe so, tell
him. You know what he does?
That is, no, you do not pee on your sister. Have a stern talk with him.
I did. He doesn't care.
That hurts her feelings.
Dude, I did that.
Okay.
He laughs in my face. Then I go to take him into timeout, right? Grandma's seen this one.
Poor
so I go
Lou.
To take him into timeout, and he's this clever. So I, because he sings and he dances and he does all this stuff in his room. So I was like, all right. So we're trying the whole, no, you're facing the wall, right? You don't get to sing, you don't get to dance, you don't get to play your own timeout. So I'm in there, I'm like, no, dude. And I'm like, look at the wall. No singing, no talking, no dancing. He goes, where? I go, right there. Right there? And he finds this spot on the wall. I go, yeah, dude, right there. Okay. And then he stares and talks to the spot on the wall. I'm like, no talking to the wall.
Yeah, because he's happy with himself.
Yeah.
He can entertain himself.
Really
doesn't work for him, but I don't know what else you can take from him. You can take away his TV.
How old is he?
But
his TV? Oh, I got another one for you, Grandma. You ready for this one? I come home. We're shooting all day. I think I may have told you this, Andy. We're shooting all day. Heather had been with the kids earlier. Lou was moving out because Phoenix threw her shoes in the pool. Lou's moving out, and she's trying to go home with
Lou.
With the nanny. So I come home and I get the rundown, right? Because Lou's the tattler. So she's like, he did this and he did that and he did this. So I'm like, all right, whatever. You know, we know Lou. Don't tell on your brother. We sit down and put the kids to bed. I turn on the TV. And in our smart, 3D, super giant TV, there's a...
Oh, this is the one with the spot in it.
Yes, the spot, Grandma. A black hole in the TV. And the TV is so intelligent, it's outlined, the black hole, with a white line being like, yo, I'm super messed up right here. Right here. I'm messed up. Check me out. Right here. I turn the TV off. I go up to the TV, look at the hole, and it's been smashed. Like, it has this massive impact. Of course, I go get him out of bed, and I go, dude, drag him out of bed. And Heidi's like, do not get him out of bed. I'm like, no, I get him out of bed. Take him over to the TV. I go, what happened? He goes, I smashed it with Lou's shoe. I go, why did you do that? I wanted to.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, and then I go, all right, that's fine. You know what? No Paw Patrol. And he goes, got an iPad. And walked back into his
like a devil.
He's just smart.
He's just really smart.
Well, he does what he wants to do because he weighs out the consequences and he'll go, I already accept them in my mind.
Yes.
And I'll still do it. So when you delve out the punishment, I already know it's coming.
He sounds like me as a kid. But here's what I would do.
Yeah, he's just showing you how independent he can be.
Right.
So what am I supposed to do, Grandma?
What?
What do I do?
I don't know what you do. I'm hoping it's a phase because he's just trying to show his independence.
But I'm not
and
a
so
mother.
He's not a baby anymore.
I'm not a mother, but I think what's really important is to make sure that Lou feels special when that happens. So if I
Leave
was
her
mom,
because then you give Lou attention, and then
say,
they go, oh, "Wait a minute, it's backfiring."
Lou, no one should treat you this way. Never accept that. We're going to get you a special new outfit.
Yeah, but she antagonizes the crap out of him to get him. She'll antagonize
him. Yeah, she knows
him.
How to push his.
Yeah, she pushes his buttons to get him in trouble.
Oh.
So then you're like, well, did she do something to get peed on? And Heidi didn't see it. You don't know.
Yeah.
Although I know that...
And she could have because she does know how to push his buttons.
Yeah.
But
she pushes his buttons. She pushes his buttons. All right,
well,
here's another one.
That's
this
hard.
Was, this was
this
actually...
is tough.
And it's hard not to laugh. So Andy's over there with her entire family, right? And her whole family are in the chicken coop. Her niece, her fiance, her mother-in-law.
That would have been a crowded chicken coop.
It was, Ma.
It was. Phoenix is above the chicken coop. He takes a rock, chucks it into the roof of the chicken coop, and the chickens go flying everywhere.
Like, he had the plan. He had the plan executed. Yeah. It wasn't an accident.
The chickens go
he
flying.
He knew. Oh, no, he knew.
And he's laughing, and he looks around the corner at me. And I, I'm mad, but it's like, and I'm like, dude, no. And he just walks his last time out. He's like, I'm going to time out.
And you say to him, what'd you do? And he'll go, I checked it.
Yeah.
He's not like, he's so smart.
Yeah, he's like,
you could say, why did you do that? I wanted to chuck the rock.
I wanted to chuck it.
He is smart. That is
super smart.
Way smart.
Yeah.
What am I supposed to do?
And he does want to show he's independent, but I know he still wants to be a baby in some ways.
But I'm outmanned. He's like, I don't care. There's nothing I can do that he cares about. I can take the Sunday, the treat. He doesn't care. You tell him no TV. He cares for a second. And then the problem with the TV is Heidi's like, yeah, well, you know, the problem with that, honey, is that, you know, when you're like, oh, I'm going to Cincinnati for 2 days and I need to get their food ready. Yeah. I need to put a show on for them. So, you can't really take the TV away full time. It's like, I got nothing, Grandma. I got nothing.
Well, it is hard. When you do need it as a babysitter, it is hard to take the TV away because you're hurting yourself.
Mm-hmm. Yes. You're not because, giving us illusions.
There are times when you just need that TV on so that you can go do something, even if it's just go to the bathroom. And so I can see the point of, you know, but you can take it away for that particular night. But
he's
done
already
that.
In bed. I get, all right, all right, okay.
I guess with smart kids maybe is sometimes, you know how they say it has to be swift and severe and right in the moment? Sometimes you maybe got to delay it with smart kids, you know, like for instance, if they were, yeah, because it's like you gotta almost like be in a situation where there's something that they want and then say, you know what, I thought about it and I changed my mind. We're not going to do this because you know what? You peed on your sister. And so, you know
smart.
What? We've changed plans because we're upset with you.
Andy,
but I mean, that's
smart.
Tough. But it's tough, too, because some like kids that are equipped with like, you know, they're like, so
he's sharp.
So I already ordered a pizza.
You got to really sure the delay in the punishment really works because I don't know if they
remember
really. Think about, you know, well, that was like long time ago. They already took away my ice cream. You know, so I don't know if that would work.
I agree.
Or not.
It's hard to know. But it's like when you're desperate,
you've got to keep trying things.
It's tough. Oof.
Okay, I got another one for you.
I gave a swat on the bottom now and then, but I know you're not into that.
Just to get
their attention.
You know what?
I never, ever hurt my children, but I did swat them to get their attention.
Yeah, that works.
You know, you can't. The problem is nowadays, I did a whole segment on the doctors about it. Mm-hmm.
I know they'll all say that, child abuse is
No, they didn't. They didn't, actually. Mm-hmm. They said that tell the child, you're getting a spanking, and here's why. Mm-hmm. That if you don't do it out of anger or hysteria or impulse, and if you're calm and you explain why they're getting the spanking, that if you choose to do a spanking, that's how you would do it.
It's true. That's the only thing that works.
I wasn't good on that. I was an impulse when, like, if they did something, and it was more like if it scared me.
Yeah.
Like when Heather, like, ran into the parking lot.
Ugh.
And I grabbed her and swatted her on the behind. You know, it was like I was terrified.
Yeah.
And I wanted her to know that I was terrified.
Yeah. I honestly, though, I'm telling you right now, I know Phoenix. If I did turn around and swat him, he'd look at me and swat me right back. You know, like, take
hurts.
That, bitch. Yeah, he'd be like, you want to play?
Here's
let's,
the other
let's
cheek.
Go. Yeah, he would
know. Just walk around with
it
him.
It hurts. It hurts. It shuts them up. I was that bad kid, too, and the only thing that worked was that hanger and the belt.
The hanger? Shut up!
That was the only
hanger and the belt?
I never got
what the hell? I got to edit this out of the show.
No,
what?
The cops are
going to show up at your parents' house.
That's the only way they could
hanger?
Discipline me.
Is your mother Joan Crawford?
No, I was
what
a bad
hell?
Kid. I was
no,
just like
no
that.
No, there's no such thing as a bad kid.
I was that
there
kid.
There is no such thing as a bad kid.
Was always testing the limits.
That's not a bad kid, though. You just, there's no such thing as a bad kid. There's a bored kid. Yeah, there's an intelligent kid. But there's no such thing as a bad kid.
Well,
no.
I got into trouble.
I think it's more adventuresome. He's just not afraid of anything.
No, he's
and
not. No.
That's what Phoenix is. He's not afraid of anything except getting his hands really messy.
He's so anal. He's just like me that way. All right, I got another one for you. This one's a little more serious. You ready?
Yep.
Your granddaughter wants to go to an all-black camp. And when she wants to go to, quote, black camp.
Good for her.
And when I asked her why, she asked me why God made so many white people. And I was like, why, sweetie, why? And I said, well, God, you know, God made, you know, black people, red people, yellow people, blah, blah, blah. And the kids, apparently, in her dance class and some kids at school... Mm-mm. Have been saying things to her like, you can't be Anna, you can't be Elsa, why is she brown? This is all the fun stuff that Heidi and I have been dealing with.
That's an awfully young age to start that, so their parents have to be saying some of this.
Well, Jillian, what age is this?
Tell us what
she's
age.
About to be five.
Five.
Oh my God.
This is what
and
I'm
she's
dealing.
The only black girl in the and, school.
Well, the thing is, the school she goes to, though, so I had to be like, sweetie, Raiji.
There's all kinds of mixed.
Yeah, I was like, Raiji's Japanese, Sophia is Indian, the president of the school is also black, but like, you know, she is seeing. And I explained to her, I was honest with her. I go, you know what, baby? I'm like, it's not that God made so many white people. I was like, the problem is, you know, that we live in an area where there are a lot of white people. And I was like, and I said, I go, you know, with that said, because it's never been an issue. I've never dealt with this until we started to see it from her peers. And I said, I go, if you want to move, I was like, if you want to move, because I figured, you know what, screw it. I'll sell the beach house when it's done and like we'll get another house elsewhere and like we could go to the farm on weekends. I was like, if you want to move, we'll move. And I explained it to her and I was like, we can move. And she was like, no, no, I like it here. I want to live here. And I said, because I was like, you know, because Heidi and I have been super conscious of it. Do come with me, look around the playground. But I tried to explain. I was like, you know, when Raiji looks around, not everyone around him is Japanese. Not everybody around Sophia is Indian. Mm-hmm. You know, not everybody around, you know, this child is Latin, et cetera. But she is the, you know, when you go to dance class, she is the only, you know. And you know, my daughter is, she's espresso. The chick is
she's a very
beautiful, but like Lupita Nyong'o, like she's, and how, okay, now what do I do? What the hell am I supposed to say? And I was, so we went to our family therapist and I'm like, I'm not equipped. I'm going to kill someone. Right. I literally wasn't there when the child, because Heidi was there, when the child looked at Lou and said, why is she brown? And I was, and Heidi's like, I know the mother. I you know, and I was like, I would have killed somebody.
Well, why is she brown?
Just say God made her that way.
Just like God made you white, little girl.
Yeah.
You know?
I want to kill.
God made you that way. I mean, and it's just the way it is. Everybody's different.
And everyone's
just
beautiful.
Like, and they usually say, like, you know, like if candy comes in different colors, it doesn't mean that they're any different than the other ones. Like M&M's, they don't taste any different because they're a red one versus a brown one or a yellow one.
I've never thought about that,
is she
actually
feeling like it's a bad thing? Do you get that?
She's very, very proud of, because we've all, you know, I'm always talking to her about how beautiful she is
right
and how
on.
Beautiful her skin is. And, you know, and she's convinced, I think I've said this before, that if she continues to lotion, Heidi and myself will become black. So she tries to, because, you know, when black people get ashy, you know how they get ashy? So you always lotion
them. They get
them
a little bit white.
Yeah. So the joke is, I'm like, uh-oh. And, you know, so I always lotion her, and she laughs and laughs and laughs. So she thinks if she continues to lotion us, we'll become black. And, you know, I explained to her, like, the benefit. I'm like, you have more sun protection, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, I talked to her about her birth mommy, gave her this gift and all this stuff. But I'm, you know, here I am, and this is the first time I think she's starting to feel excluded and alienated.
Yeah.
And I, you know, my reaction is I want to kill someone, and I feel completely helpless, and I want to fix the problem. And Heidi's like, you can't, honey, you're not going to fix racism for her.
No,
she's like, you're
going to.
Yeah.
She just has to feel secure in herself, and she is pretty secure in herself. But why don't you just let her go to a black camp and see how it works?
Is there a black camp? I mean, how am I going to Google black camp? The FBI is going to show up at my door.
You're just going to have to go in an area where there's more black people.
Yeah,
you know?
And that's what I thought. I said, we're going to need to go. I was
like,
after this,
summer vacation.
We're
going
to need to go to a different school.
Yeah.
I was like, we're going to need to go to a different school.
I think it's
a public school or something.
I think it's important.
Even public schools.
But even
in Malibu,
you
won't
have
it. Yeah, no, I looked at the public schools.
You won't have it in Malibu.
Because I was like, I am not paying.
Get out of there, buddy.
This kind of crazy. But the thing is that she gets there. She lives on a farm. She lives on the beach. And she, you know, she loves that. But then I'm like, all right, so, you know, and we have, don't get me wrong, we have, you know, black people in our lives, but it's like when she's in dance camp, and now she doesn't want to go to dance.
Oh,
she doesn't want to go. It gives her massive anxiety.
Oh, my God.
Was like, do I take her? I was like, do I take her? And, you know, we deal with it. And the therapist was like, no, don't take her.
Don't take her. Why should
but
she?
Don't
yep.
make her feel like this is an issue, because when she senses that you're.
Enjoy yourself when she's there.
No, she hates
it. Okay, then I wouldn't take her.
Yeah, she hates it.
Still like gymnastics.
She does like gymnastics. She does like gymnastics, and so, you know, she likes it, and when we go and when we watch, she really, you know how she is, Grandma. Look at me, Grandma.
Yeah,
look at me,
I know.
Grandma.
Look at me.
Yeah, so, you know, when we do
I know
that,
the time I went, she kept looking up to see if I was watching out the window and waved to me and stuff, and aww, she looked like, well, I know she's always half standing on her head every 2 seconds, so yeah. I figured she must still like that.
So we've been, you know, we take her, and then she likes horses, but we've kind of, you know, we've scaled it all back, but then you kind of look at it, and I'm like, how am I, you know, how am I supposed to, I can't shelter her from that. You know what, babe? She's got an Indian friend. She's got a Japanese friend. She got
I mean, there is a lot of different
diversity.
Be really careful about that with the school. But, you know, it's like, Jack for Andy's son. I mean,
she's gonna have to know
Cynthia's son. Lyric is half black, but he doesn't look like Lou.
There's
Jack is Vietnamese, half Vietnamese. Yeah, you know, she doesn't see herself. You know, she's everybody's different shades, but there's not a lot of people that look like Lou. I mean, she looks like. I think she looks like, you know, Lupita Nyong'o. I think smashing.
Well, that's a beautiful person to look like.
Yeah, and she looks also like Michonne a little bit. She loves Michonne. She doesn't watch The Walking Dead, but she loves, you know, she loves Danai Gurira.
Well, there's a new cartoon coming out, and the hero is black.
Really?
It's called Home. It comes out this weekend.
Focus on all that.
Let me tell you, she notices it, dude. Models. Like, when we were at the farmer's market, this guy walked by, and she goes, a black guy at the top of her lungs. I died. I was like, okay, how am I going to? And the guy kind of just looked at us and he didn't know, you know, what to think. And I was like, hello. I was like, oh my God.
But I think it's harmless. She's observing her environment because she observes that other people observe she's different, as long as she continues to know that that's okay and good. And I feel like you guys are also trying to, you know, immerse her in situations where they're similar.
We are.
Similarities, and then the differences can be okay. I mean, the part that sucks is you got to, like, equip them to deal with other people's ignorance.
Yes, that's what I got to do.
That's so sad. You're navigating them to go through life by going, all these idiots around you.
Yep. Yeah. And you know what? Moving away may not be the solution, because I think you have to let her know that there's going to be mean people in the world that are going to judge you for whatever reason. And those are the people you don't want to be around. And you have to feel confident in who you are. And there's all different types of people. No one is the same. No one is the same. You can't find one person that's the same.
Yeah, I know.
And I know it's so hard. I don't even know what to do. Dude, I'm just so upset with this.
Doc McStuffins is black. That's it.
Yeah.
That's
There's this new brand new cartoon.
All right.
It's coming out this weekend called Home.
All right, Grandma.
And the little hero in it is a little girl, and she's black.
Thank God.
And she has some kind of alien friend. But
I saw that. That's out today.
Oh, well, you're going to enjoy that movie when you take her, aren't you? Because you're on your way.
I'll be glad to take her. It looks like a movie I would like.
Oh, my gosh.
I forget whose voice the girl is.
I want to say Rihanna.
A singer.
Actually.
Yes, Rihanna.
I don't know, Ma. I want to say Rihanna.
Oh, wow.
It's Rihanna. And Jennifer Lopez plays her mother.
Yeah. So there we go.
All right. Well,
so
Grandma.
She'll take her to see that for sure, or I'll take her when I get out there.
Thank you for the tips, Grammy.
I'm coming soon.
Can't wait to see you. We love you.
I love you guys.
Love you, Grandma, too.
Talk to you later.
Thanks, Grandma.
See you, Andy.
Bye.
Bye.
Dude, that makes me. I'm so upset. That's why I'm like throwing out advice, because I just don't. I want to fix the problem.
When people say, it's so funny, because I remember, you know, back in the day, and people would be like, parenting is hard. And you're like, yeah, I know. You're tired. I got it. Mm-mm. And they're like, no.
It's not those things
they
talk about.
It's not. It's stuff like this where you're like.
It's the real issues
you're not
sure are going to pop up that do. And you go, wow, these are not stereotypical.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you're like, do I make her go? Do I not make her go? Should I do this?
And they're nerve-wracking because they make a real impact on your kids. They're real. Like, you're like,
yes.
I don't want to damage. I want to make this flow.
Do I this? Do I make them sleep in their room? Do I let them sleep in the bed?
Heartbreaking.
Am I enabling them to be this way? Am I making them neglect themselves? It's just oh my God.
Yeah, I hear you.
All righty. Well, we'll end on that very hopeful note. Oh,
like listening to comedy, try watching it on the internet. The folks behind the Sideshow Network have launched a new YouTube channel called Wait For It. It's got interviews with comedians like Reggie Watts, Todd Glass, Liza Schlesinger. I've been friends with her for 10 years. One of the funniest people out there, and I still have a hard time with the last name, Liza. Our very own Owen Benjamin, that's me, takes you on a musical journey down internet rabbit holes and much more. You don't have to wait any longer. Just go to youtube.com/waitforitcomedy. There's no need to wait for it anymore because it's here and it's funny. And I love you.